Going to chapter number 10, verse number 9. I have very mixed emotions about what I'm going to preach. And here I am, I'm standing in a place where sometimes I wonder how God works and why he does certain things. I don't understand it all. It's too big for me. All I know is that every time that I obey God, there's a blessing.
Right.
And God seems to somehow figure it all out. Here recently, there's been several things that have happened where I've preached and I didn't know why. There's been a couple messages that I postponed for weeks on end, and then I preached it on a specific night, and it was a message for individuals in the church that have helped them, that have saved them, that have turned them around, that have given them direction in the moment, in the nick of time. Just specific things that have happened to several of you. And you know who I'm talking about. You don't need to know the situation, sir. But there are many of you here today that God has done that. And there's been several times that I've even questioned God before I came to the pulpit and said, why? Why am I preaching that? Why do I feel that? Why do I feel this urgency or this need or whatever? And lo and behold, God reveals it later on by you coming to me and saying, Pastor, I'm going to do that. Now, I'm not expecting you to do that today. I don't know if you will. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Maybe nobody will. Maybe all of you will be all scratching your head and going, what in the world? Then you can blame it on the cold. Amen. But God is certainly a good God.
Amen.
Amen. He answers prayer, and he's always on time. He's always on time. He's always on time. You know what? I'm going to have you be seated first. Go ahead and be seated. There, as you're in your Bible, Romans chapter number 10. I apologize. I'm excited about the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, but I am afraid that if I get going too crazy, I won't be able to finish the totality of the teaching that I want to do this morning. First of all, I want to start off by saying the Bible, if you will look this up and you will consider this, the Bible that you hold on your lap today is still the number one selling book. I want to call it a book, okay? For the sake of all books and all books being created, quote unquote, equal, the Bible is still the best selling book of all time. There are more copies sold of the Bible than any other book. I know you can go and you can Google this and it'll say, it'll give you a list of Harry Potter stuff and it'll give you a list of all kinds of craziness, but when you really start to look it out, they're talking about all kinds of books that are secular, and sometimes they don't include the Bible in there. But if you include the Bible in all of those books, the Bible is still the number one selling book. Why is that? The Bible is still the number one selling book because it is God's intention for him to reach each and every individual on this planet with the word of salvation.
Right.
It is the will of God that he wants to save every single person. So I want to just title this, if I can this morning, the book that has all the answers. Did you get that, Brother Carlos? The book that has all the, I'm gonna have to be, Brother Carlos, you titled the message the other day. I was preaching about a breakthrough, and I can't even remember what you titled it, but it was a breakthrough. And I looked online and go, when did I preach that message? And I went, oh, he titled it. He didn't title it what I had titled. So I was wondering what I preached, so I started listening to it. I was like, oh, I know what I preached there. So this morning, I just want to simply preach the Bible, the book that has all the answers. Amen. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe, everybody say believe.
Believe
in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That word heart, again, in our previous study a couple weeks back, we talked about the word heart. That word heart does equate to the mind. So it is not of the emotions, but it is of the intellect. With the mind, man believeth unto righteousness. There's an understanding. There's an intellectual happening that goes on in your mind. Many of us can attest to the fact that we got revelation of who Jesus was.
Right.
You got a revelation. You got an understanding. And yes, there was a glorious feeling with that revelation. But where did it really happen? It happened in your mind. Something came together in your mind as you read or heard the preached word of God. And so verse number 10 goes on, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth. That doesn't leave anybody out. Aren't you thankful for that today? You talk about all inclusive. This Bible is all inclusive. We're living in a world that wants to, I read just the other day of a situation with a man down in L.A. He was a black guy, and everybody knows that there's not a prejudice involved in my body. But this black man was wearing a support for Trump shirt, and he went into a fitness center. Down there in L.A., it's a real exclusive fitness center, and they kicked him out because he supported Trump.
Wow.
But yet, when you look at all of this gym's membership, and or not their membership, but their advertisement, it is all over the place that it is an all-inclusive gym. We don't exclude anybody. We want transgenders. We want this. We want that. And it goes down all of this list. We accept anybody and embrace everybody. I had to scratch my head and I said, wait a second. Your advertisements are you embrace everybody and anybody and everybody's equal and blah, 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 blah. And then you kick this guy out. And then of all things, remember what I said, he's a black guy. Wear a t-shirt that says Trump on him. And they called him a racist.
Wow.
Avery, can you explain that to me? I can't explain that. I'm like, oh, are you serious? Where'd you get? And so none of it even made any sense. Okay? But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God is. The Word of God is all inclusive. It'll take everybody and anybody, amen, that will hear and obey and believe the Word of God, and it'll change your life, amen. It'll do some things to you and help you in life, and know that nothing else can help, amen. And so the scripture said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh God, help my voice. Jesus help me. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all. Look at how inclusive this is. You want to talk about inclusive. Now, I know that's a big deal today. Everybody wants to be accepted. This is the best acceptance book ever written.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
It wants everybody. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God doesn't want anybody lost. How good is that? There's a lot of people that exclude you and push you here and there and whatever because of what you believe and what you think and all your political views and whatever and whatever. But I'm going to tell you, God wants you to be saved more than anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're mixing politics and religion. No, I'm not mixing nothing. I'm not mixing nothing. I'm going to tell you, God wants to save you. I don't care what side of the fence you're on, if you're a right winger or a left winger. And if you're a right winger, you go around in circles. And if you're a left winger, you go around in circles. They're both going around in circles.
Right.
Well, yeah. And so anyways, God doesn't put it in difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach? So you got a preacher, but how shall they preach if they haven't been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed. Now here's the ticket. It's an all-inclusive deal. This Bible, this Word of God, is wanting to envelop everybody. But the deal is they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel, but nevertheless, God wants everybody to be saved. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So it said, for Isaiah saith, the Lord, Lord, who hath believed our report? And then a very favorite scripture of mine, verse number 17, said, so then faith cometh by hearing. I cannot get faith except by hearing.
Right.
My faith, how many of you, when you hear the word of God, does it encourage you? Does it uplift you? Oh yeah, there's plenty of times that you may be just reading, that you may hear preaching, that you may be reading your Bible or listening to it on a CD or whatever, and it is encouraging. It uplifts you. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe, according to Scripture, that everyone needs a preacher.
Amen.
You don't need just any old preacher. You need a heaven-sent, God-fearing preacher. You need a preacher that is sent to you from God. Now let me give you scripture on that. I want you to see this and know this from the Word. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 15. Any preacher ain't going to do. God has a specific design for you. Jeremiah 3, verse 15. I will give you pastors according to mine heart. I, God speaking, I'm going to give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. What's the preacher going to do? He's going to feed you.
Right.
I know at least one person's pulled up to the table today and got his napkin stuck underneath it, and he's got a knife in one hand, a fork in the other, and a plate pulled up. He says, yeah, go ahead, feed. There needs to be something inside of us that when we come to the house of God, that we say, we pull up to the table and say, I'm ready to eat. I came hungry for the word of God. Amen. I'm hungry today. Amen. And the Bible tells us that God's going to give you somebody, a pastor, that's going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I know that there are folks in here today that you say, well, I don't understand, or I don't know why, or what's the purpose of. And the preacher begins to preach, and all of a sudden, in some way, shape, or form, you got this question, and the preacher hadn't even heard that you got the question, but the preacher begins to preach about it, and all of a sudden, you go, bing!
Amen.
Well, there's five or six of you that that's happened. How about the rest of you? It's happened to me so many times that I have sat down and began to listen to the word of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times, even as a preacher, I've gone to a conference and I've gone to places where there's preaching. And I've said, God, I need to hear from you. And God knows right where I'm at. God knows exactly what's going on in my mind. And he sends a preacher to preach to me the answer that I need, or to give me the hope that I need, or to give me the assurance that I need.
Yeah.
He sends me a preacher to give me hope again. But then look at verse number 16 of that same chapter. And it shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass
when ye be multiplied and increased in the land. Now this is after. You're going to be multiplied and increase in the land. Why? Because God's going to give you a pastor that's going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And when you gain that knowledge and that understanding, you're going to multiply.
Right. Amen.
You're going to increase. In those days, saith the Lord. Now this is what I really like. They shall say no more. God said, they're not going to say this ever again. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. That ever stood out to anybody before? It stands out because you have the children of Israel all the way through the Old Testament were always depending on that box. That box with those children. Now, I'm not taking away the power of it for them, but we've got something much better today. Then the Ark of the Covenant. And it was grand and it's splendor and it was part of God's design and so on and so forth. But God is telling Jeremiah, I want to make sure these people know they're never going to have to depend on an ark. They're never going to have to depend on a box with angels on top of it. Right. But I am going to be their God. I'm going to get personal with them. It's not going to be a box anymore. But I'm going to be their God. I'm going to get personal with my people. Neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. God said, I'm going. Oh, this is awesome. Isn't this awesome? God's already setting up a plan that not to have the priest and blood sacrifices and all these things. He said, I'm going to give you a pastor, and he's going to care for you, and he's going to love you, and he's going to feed you with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He's going to give you direction, and you're not going to have to depend on an ark. But if you'll just hear the word of the Lord when the preacher begins to preach, I'm going to give you everything that you need, and I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to increase you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you everything of your heart's desire. That's God's plan. That's God's plan, his will. There will be no more dependence on that ark, and there isn't today, as we depend on God and this personal relationship that you and I can have with him. How many things today have you listened to? I know the morning's young, but how many things have you listened to already today? Did you get on the internet and see what's happening with the storm in Texas? Did you look at your phone and find out what's going on here? And did you read or listen to some news? Did you listen to some family members or maybe some friends? Oh, I'm sure that all of us have listened to something very first thing this morning. My kids, one in particular, had to listen to their mother and their dad say, get out of bed. It's time to get ready and go to church.
Right?
Yeah. They had to listen to that and they had to do something about it. Amen. How many of you, even on your way to church, heard the noise of an animal or of the birds or of a car or of an airplane? You heard all kinds of things today.
Yes, sir.
But let me ask you, how many of those things preach to you the word of God? How many of those taught you wisdom and knowledge and gave you understanding? You see, the entertainers on the radio, the news, even of Hollywood, they are to entertain you.
Right. Amen.
Co-workers help you work.
Right.
Friends just talk and you have fun with them.
Right.
Family supports and loves and so on and so forth. But there's nothing like the preaching of the word of God. Because when the preacher begins to speak, the word of God is available to anyone that hears it.
Right.
And if you can hear, you got a great chance of being saved.
Right.
That's what the Bible said. Because I already read it to you there in Romans, that if you can hear, you can be saved. If you believe it, but you can't believe it unless you hear it.
Right?
So you've got to hear something in order to believe it. I believe that's why you're here this morning, because you want to be saved.
Amen.
I said, I believe that's why you're here this morning. Because you want to be saved. Some may not understand or know the way that God thinks or the way God feels. But that's why we need a preacher. Brother Derek, can I share your experience of the day? The other day, even Brother Dean, just yesterday, he shared where a man had come in and had talked to him and said, I've been reading my Bible, but how do I know what it all means if I don't have somebody tell me? And man, I'm telling you, when he testified that to me, he said, when that man spoke that to me, he said, I was like, whoa, okay, God, I know you're speaking to me to say something to him. And so when he testified to me, I thought, oh man, that's so good. And look right there how the Bible is coming to pass again. You don't think it's any different than it was back then in the Word of God? I'm going to get there in just a minute and give you that here in a moment. You can tune in or you can tune out. It's up to you how much you want to receive. And even as much as I want to preach, I can preach and preach and preach. But you're only going to receive as much as you want to receive. You're only going to listen to as much as you want to listen to. It's in all of us, but just like anything else in the world, you can take in as much as you want to.
Right.
You know, that song that we sang or used to sing, or it's been a long time since we sang, I choose to be a Christian. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. This is how I want to live. I can chew and dip, I can snort and cuss, I can party all night until the sun comes up, but there's better things in life I'd rather do. I choose, nobody's making me do this. This is the way I want to live. I want to live like this. I love living like this. Amen. You can love it or you can leave it. Your choice, anytime. But the Bible is a book that needs a preacher to interpret it, if you will. Yes. It is the design of Almighty God. Now, I will say this, that God never intended through his word also just for you to come in and sit on a pew or sit in a chair and listen to a preacher preach only. But he said those that were at Thessalonica were more noble, or the Bereans were more noble than they at Thessalonica, because they studied the scripture daily to see whether it be so.
Right.
And so they didn't only take what the preacher was saying, but they took it home with their Bible, and they began to read, and they began to gain more understanding and wisdom because they got a relationship with their Bible.
Right. Amen.
So God combines the two and puts a personal responsibility on you to hear the Word of God, but then he takes that personal responsibility a little bit further and asks and desires you to read it. You to study it. You to apply it. So as well as we need a preacher in order to hear the Word of God, we also have to have our own personal relationship with our Bible. Amen. Brother Alfred, how long have you been living for God? When'd you get saved? When'd you get the Holy Ghost?
About 32 years ago.
32 years ago. Last year, I don't know that you've ever done it before, you didn't tell me, but I'm going to assume that last year was your first year that you read your Bible all the way through twice. Is that correct? Twice. 32 years. He read it all the way through twice in 1 year. Now here's a man that, let me just give it to you like this, that's been living for God for 32 years, had the Holy Ghost for 32 years, and yet he's come to me on several different occasions and said, look at this, Pastor. Wow, isn't this? So what I'm saying is, no matter how long you've lived for God, you keep on reading that Bible, and you're going to keep on seeing things that you've never seen before. On a personal level, as well as when you hear the preaching, wow, I've read that, 100 times in my Bible, but I never saw it like that. I never heard it on that. Oh, that's so good. Thank you, God, for telling me. Thank you, God, for teaching me. Thank you, God, for helping me understand your word. And so I take you just quickly to Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south to the way that thou goest down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. I want you to go take off into the desert. Here we go again in the desert. Just like Jesus was taken up in the spirit into the wilderness. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, the eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had a charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understand what thou readest. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? I'm reading, but I don't know what I'm talking. I don't know what I'm doing. And this gentleman by the name of Timothy that Brother Derek just got a Bible study with, he said, I'm reading in Genesis. He said, I don't know what all this is talking about. I don't know. How am I supposed to understand all this?
Right.
So where should I be reading, Derek? And you know what? I'm going to tell you, God will put you in the right place at the right time when you know the Word of God, when you've been reading your Bible, and He'll put words in your mouth that you don't think are there sometimes.
That's right.
Amen. To give to somebody else. Amen. And that's what happened on this day with Philip, and what happened on Brother Derek just the other day. And he uses the same terminology, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him and teach him a home Bible study while they're rolling down the road. Amen. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shears, so opened he not his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who is he talking about? Of himself or some other man? What's going on here, Philip? Then Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and taught him and preached to him a man, Jesus Christ. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I'm going to tell you what Philip preached. What's not recorded right there is Philip, when he began to preach Jesus, he began to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He began to preach to him repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he began to preach to him about the promise of the Holy Ghost. I can guarantee you that, because all of a sudden, this man that did not have any understanding had understanding when he saw a mud hole on the side of the road.
Right.
Come on. All of a sudden, he goes, wait a second. He said, wait a second. Here is water. You just told me I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And Philip goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, well, here's water. What's stopping me?
Right.
Why am I hesitating? Why am I waiting? Why am I contemplating? Why am I sitting here? Oh, man. Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. Here's where that belief comes back in. Why? Because he heard the preacher preach. And he said, whoa, here I am. Here's water. Well, I need to be baptized. He said, can I do it? Can I get into water? He said, absolutely. If you believe with all your heart, here we go. And they got down in the water. And the Bible said right there, And verse 38, that he commanded the chariot to stand still and went down both of them into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He heard the word of God and he did it. You know, every one of us, I believe, knows that the scripture said not to be a hearer
only.
But a doer also.
Right.
Now, most of us are adults in here, except for the exception of some young people, and you haven't had children yet. But I believe I can say this with every adult that's ever had a child, that how many of you get a little bit frustrated when you have asked your child to do something and they have hurt you? And they don't do it. Now, some of y'all ought to be really amen at me right now. That's for sure, man. I have done that. How have you done it more than once? Oh, yeah, we've done it. I mean, it's like constant. I've told you, and I don't know how many times I've said that. I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you. How many more times do I got to tell you? And because what do we want? We want them to
obey.
Right.
We want them to obey.
Right.
We want them to do. We want them to keep. I don't want, how many of y'all use this term? I've told you till I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
Because I've told you and I've told you and I've told you. And you still don't listen. You still haven't kept my commandment, if you will. You still haven't done what I've asked you to do. Now, some of these young people say, man, it ain't no big deal, but just wait until they have children. I can't wait. It's so blessed. It's so blessed. I'm telling you, my daughter Renee, oh God, she's getting revelation. She's getting revelation. I can't wait for Gwen to have kids. She's going to have real revelation. Nikki was so funny the other day. She said, Dad, I can't believe it. Adelina, she can do her own shoes. She can put her own shoes on. She go up there, Auntie Bubbles, I need my shoes. Put my shoes on. She can't put your shoes on. But let me tell you, she all of a sudden realized just who she was when she was 2 and 3 years old. She could open the door. But what'd she do? I can't open the door, Dad. Would you open the door? You can open the door. But she want me to open the door. Want me to put on her shoes. Want me to do that. Come on, you can do this yourself.
Right.
And so she realized that, oh boy, Abby's the same way like I was. Wait until she has kids. All those things. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus. The world has, let me get back to preaching. Get off the family matter stuff. The world has a lot of philosophers, a lot of poets, a lot of teachers and authors and professors. You know what I found funny? I found a guy that writes he has a good book, and the book is phenomenal. The book is phenomenal, and it's on marriage, and I love it. It's very rich. It's very informative. I love it. I use a lot of stuff from it, so on and so forth. But you know what I found out? The guy's been married 3 times. Wait a second. You're teaching Eric. When did you write this book? On your first one, your second one, or your third one? Did you finally figure it all out after the third, or what? But what happened? It is kind of humorous because there's a bunch of people that can tell you a lot of stuff.
Right.
Right.
Give me somebody that can show me by their life,
right.
By their example,
amen.
By how they live. Oh God, help.